President-elect George W. Bush says he's confident the Senate will confirm Linda Chavez as Secretary of Labor, despite allegations that she housed and supported an illegal immigrant in the early 90s. Chavez is one of at least three Bush nominees who face confirmation challenges. The others include former Colorado Attorney General Gail Norton, who's been named as Interior Secretary, and former Missouri Senator John Ashcroft, the president-elect's controversial choice for Attorney General. Liberal groups are working hard to defeat the Ashcroft nomination, and the confirmation hearings are expected to be contentious. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
According to political scientist Calvin McKenzie, John Ashcroft's nomination is a little like a small boat on a large and unpredictable political sea.
Every nomination is like a series of intense weather systems coming together. And, you know, when weather systems come together, you might get a little rain, you might get a blizzard, you might get the perfect storm. And you don't know until they collide.
If the political rhetoric is any measure, the Ashcroft nomination is getting fairly turbulent. Civil rights, labor, environmental, and abortion rights groups are joining forces against him. Kate Michaelman, president of the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League, says she expected George W. Bush to nominate a conservative to be attorney general, but not this one.
We believe that John Ashcroft is so extreme in his views that the president-elect really laid the gauntlet down when he nominated him. I have to tell you honestly, I was surprised at the nomination. It was somewhat breathtaking.
Ashcroft is an outspoken opponent of abortion, and so Michaelman's group has launched a rapid campaign of emails, phone calls, and visits to senators.
We're ready to go. We know what we need to do. We're ready to educate, organize, and mobilize.
Last week, in a conference room overlooking downtown Washington, a dozen NARAL staffers mapped strategy by conference call, what kind of research to conduct into Ashcroft's background, and how to use that information to tell their story.
That it is his goal, his number one mission, to get rid of the right to choose. And he's used every available tool at his command in every office he's ever held. Is that getting closer?
I think there's two ways to look at this, Betsy.
Yes.
I think one is looking back at his record, which is what you're speaking to. But then I think it's some of the stuff we were talking about yesterday, which is moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is this guy going to do?
Right.
Or not do?
Exactly.
But for all their organization, opponents of Ashcroft have a problem. Generally, the Senate, which confirms political appointments, shows deference to the president in his choice of cabinet members, unless the senators have reservations about the nominee's character or qualifications. But as far as anyone can tell, John Ashcroft, the son of a Pentecostal minister, is squeaky clean. Critics and supporters alike say if there were any scandals, they would probably have turned up during Ashcroft's long public life as Missouri's Attorney General, Governor, and U.S. Senator. But in another sense, that long tenure provides ammunition for critics, says political scientist Calvin McKenzie, because Ashcroft has made hundreds, perhaps thousands, of speeches.
When politicians speak to groups, they try to say things that are going to get them a positive response from the audience. So if you're speaking to a religious right group or an anti-abortion group or an anti-affirmative action group, you're probably going to say things that are going to be red meat to those groups. That may get you applause then on that particular day, but then when those words are preserved in some way and come back and get thrown at you when you're being nominated to be the highest law enforcement officer of the government of the United States, in that context, they ring a little bit differently.
And across Washington, Ashcroft's opponents are hunting down speeches and screening videotape, looking to hang Ashcroft with his own words. So far, the liberal activist group People for the American Way has turned up this speech, given to a coalition of religious and conservative leaders in 1992. Here, Ashcroft is encouraging the audience to vote for candidates who support the Republican platform.
This is specific. This is the kind of specificity. This is the penetration of the rhetoric, which I think you ought to ask for, like King Solomon penetrated the rhetoric a couple thousand years ago. We reject the notion that the distribution of clean needles and condoms are the solution to stopping the spread of AIDS.
It's no smoking gun, but opponents hope they can inspire enough doubt to sink the nomination. They point to Ashcroft's commencement speech and honorary degree from Bob Jones University, an evangelical college that prohibits interracial dating. They circulate an interview Ashcroft gave to Southern Partisan magazine, in which he expressed admiration for Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and Jefferson Davis. Critics say Ashcroft was endorsing slavery. Supporters say he was merely praising Confederate leaders. But probably the biggest landmine for Ashcroft is the case of Ronnie White. White is a Missouri State Supreme Court justice and an African American who was nominated to the federal bench. Last year, then-Senator Ashcroft derailed the nomination, saying White was soft on the death penalty. But it turned out that White upheld death sentences two-thirds of the time. Ralph Neese at People for the American Way sees racism in Ashcroft's action.
I have to say that John Ashcroft misrepresented the facts. He misled his fellow United States senators. What happened during the Ronnie White episode alone should disqualify John Ashcroft to be Attorney General of the United States.
David Keene at the American Conservative Union says that's nonsense. Liberal groups are trying to turn legitimate political differences into questions of character.
In this case, they're trying to find things that allow them to suggest or charge that Senator Ashcroft is racially motivated, or that he's a liar, or that he's a hypocrite, or that he's doing things for reasons that are just not reasonable. And from that, question his fitness in terms of his character.
Keene says that Ashcroft voted to confirm the vast majority of black judges and that he promoted blacks within his administration. Even as liberal groups try to derail Ashcroft, their conservative counterparts are mobilizing to support him. Paul Weyrich at the Free Congress Foundation says conservatives are delighted with the prospect of an Attorney General Ashcroft.
They are genuinely enthused about this. They are excited. I've gotten tons of email. People can't believe that he's actually been nominated. They think this is the best news. They're wanting to know, what can we do? Give us the word. Tell us what you want. They're thrilled.
Not surprisingly, conservatives are using the same tools as liberals. They're emailing, talking to senators, and going on the conservative talk shows. In a recent radio commentary, which is heard on more than 1,000 Christian radio stations, Christian activist Charles Colson employs a two-pronged strategy. He rebuts the liberal attacks on Ashcroft, and then he turns the tables.
What's really at issue here is that Ashcroft is an evangelical and is not bashful about his beliefs. He believes in the Bible, he's outspokenly pro-life, and he's opposed to the gay rights agenda.
Finally, Colson calls the listeners to action.
If you agree that John Ashcroft should be confirmed, let your senators know how you feel. Write him a letter, and when the confirmation hearings begin, give them a call.
Much of this is standard fare for the nomination process, but political scientist Calvin McKenzie says much of it is not. As John Ashcroft heads into confirmation hearings, he will be facing a Senate split 50-50 and a group of Democrats still bitter about an election they think was stolen from them.
The reality is that we have gone through an election that was really blood sport, and I think this will just be a continuation of that very close, toe-to-toe confrontation. I think it'll be very tough. I think a lot of senators will be perfectly comfortable voting against him solely on policy grounds.
John Ashcroft's hearing date has yet to be set. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.